The Stockholm International Peace Research Institute has released a study showing that global military spending has seen the largest annual increase in a decade. The report says Asia and Oceania have risen every year since at least 1989, and many people are wondering how Australia fits into this picture. Dennis Doherty of the Australian Anti-Basis Campaign spoke to The Wire's Aidan Moller.
The United States has the view that Russia and China are catching up. There's a lot of pressure on China coming from the United States and its allies, and we're one of the allies of the United States. So we contribute in a small manner to the tensions in the region. But at the same time, China's military spending is rather modest in comparison to the United States. It's an overreaction by the United States to increase its spending so much and to require allies like ourselves to increase our spending to assist the United States in whatever they have in mind.
Which countries account for the biggest increases in spending?
The German figure rose by 10%. China and India became second and third, respectively.
Do you think this increase might be sort of a compensation for the fact that the United States is spending so much?
In China's case, that's correct. In India's case, it's more because of Pakistan. Then the next comes Russia, and Russia is increasing because it's under some pressure from the United States. These are the sorts of generalized reasons why military expenditure has gone up.
Does this increase in spending correlate with more actual conflicts, more hostile geopolitical situations occurring between nations, or is it entirely preemptive?
There's not actually any hot wars going on, but it is getting to be rather tense.
Is there anything our government should be doing in the current context of global military output?
The Australian government is doing exactly the wrong thing. The Australian government is complying with the United States' request that all its allies spend 2% of their GDP on the military. So that amounts to about $40 billion. And you know the sorts of things we're buying. We're buying all those submarines that people laugh about, but they're $100 billion, $1 billion are going to be spent on submarines. There's a large amount of money being spent on F-35s, that aircraft, and there's money going all the time into these sort of projects. Worse of all, as we face COVID-19, we have significant parts of the defence establishment saying, let's create a weapons-led recovery. And that would be the absolute wrong and disastrous thing for Australia to engage in.
I spoke next with Dr. Malcolm Davis, a senior analyst at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, wanting to see his perspective on whether or not Australia should increase its defence budget in 2020.
Yes, it should. Look, we're facing a much more strategically challenging security outlook now in 2020 than we were in 2019 because of the impact of COVID-19, the uncertainty over where the US is headed in terms of its international commitments, potential divisive political situation in the United States and how that's going to affect an ability of the US to lead. I would encourage the government to be thinking more in terms of 3.5 to 3.7% GDP in terms of the next defense white paper. I think that we are facing a more dangerous and challenging security outlook, and that means we need to spend more on defense. But that expenditure has to be on capabilities that we can acquire quickly, not on capabilities that will take us 15 to 20 years to get. So the investment in things like future submarine will still go ahead, but we need to add in additional expenditure on capability that we can acquire quickly, such as, for example, long-range strike.
Military expenditure in Asia and Oceania has risen every year since at least 1989. With China, India, and Japan being among the largest military spenders in the region. Where does Australia sit in this picture?
I think, look, Australia has been coming from a low base. If you go back to the 2013 white paper where we were not spending enough on our defence, we've made determined efforts to try and address that gap. And we're almost at the 2% GDP figure now. So I think that, you know, we're never going to match the US or China in terms of dollar for dollar, renminbi for renminbi defense spending, but nor should we try. I think what we should be doing is looking to boost our defense spending in a manner that allows us to rapidly build capability to boost deterrence and to mitigate risk. But, you know, we do need to recognize that there needs to be more spent on defense in coming years, rather than just coast along on a steady as she go perspective and assume that we don't need to make any policy changes.
Could you speculate maybe what we might see sort of going further into 2020 and maybe in the next couple of years in terms of the geopolitical context that Australia is in right now?
As I said, it will depend on how the coronavirus evolves. The jury is still out on terms of whether there'll be a second wave or a third wave. So that's going to have a big impact. But I do think that China and the US are engaged in an era of strategic competition that's only going to intensify. I do worry that China will make moves against Taiwan, for example. So I do think we are in a more challenging and dangerous period going into the future. I'd go so far as to say that the 2020s are akin to the 1930s in being a pre-war period. So, you know, the question is, at what point do things become so serious that we end up facing the risk of a major power military confrontation?
Dennis Doherty of the Australian Anti-Basis Campaign speaking with The Wire's Aidan Moller.